You're listening don't to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Should say this is. I mean, they know they're listening. But good.
New I asked for one episode.
Just one episode. Where job. You didn't. All right, good. I will not say anything else. I'm just pointing out that they know they're listening.
But you already messed it up.
Good.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't done so yet, we want to encourage you to check out Plus Membership on newchurches.com for coaching, templates, and exclusive content.
So long.
Well, today's question is from Eddie Park.
Eddie?
Yeah, from EV Free Fullerton.
So, EV Free Fullerton. That's like, I love that church.
Yeah.
I wanted to preach at
historic
that church.
Historic church.
You know, Ray Chang said he was going to get me an invite to preach at that church. He never did. Did you know that?
He's a big disappointment.
He is a big disappointment to both of us. All right, guys. I think they're pastoralists right now, actually. All right.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Ed. My name is Eddie Park, and I'm the assistant executive pastor at a church called EV Free Fullerton. My question for you guys today is, what prevents a culture of multiplication? Thanks. Love the podcast.
And we love him. And first, let me say, you know you're a big church when you have an assistant executive pastor.
I think that's the first time I've heard of that.
Very title as well. That's pretty awesome. And so that's Eddie. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Well, you know, you shared this one ahead of time for me, so I had a little bit of time to kind of think about this. I jotted down some thoughts.
You mean you don't think about the content in our...
I think about all of them. I just didn't prepare for all of them. We answer Q&A. And so I kind of thought, you know, because I've written a lot on this in viral churches with Warren Bird and Planting Missional Churches that you and I have re-released. When does that come out, by the way?
In May.
In May. Okay. Yeah. So Planting Missional Churches, the second edition, I think they're calling it, even though it's technically the third edition since there was a book. Anyway, moving on. So here are some thoughts. First of all, Eddie's asking, in an established church, so we want to talk about this in terms of both new churches, which is, you know, it's a new churches podcast, but also in established churches. So yeah, let me just share some thoughts I had. First, I think fear is an obvious one. Is people are afraid of something's going to be lost when you multiply. That means we're not going to be hanging around with one another as much. We're not going to be in community as much. You know, there's going to be a loss of some trusted relationship.
Yeah.
So I think that's a key thing, is fear of that. I think fear of, well, failure. You know, let's say if we're multiplying a church, what if it doesn't work? Right. I will tell you, having talked to a lot of churches, they're like, well, we'd start a church, but we don't want to do it because it might not work. And and this is one of the reasons I think multi-site is actually, in some cases, for some churches, I think it's unhealthy, but some churches are they're quitting church planning because they're afraid of failure and thinking multi-site as if it's always going
to
work.
Yeah, it's unhealthy to replace.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to replace one. We're for multi-site, but it's not a replacement for church planning. So I think fear, and there are a lot of other factors of fear that we could sort of list in there, but there's a couple. Second, I would say a perceived scarcity.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people think, well, we don't have enough to multiply. I never really found a survey, but someone I've heard it repeated, and so it's probably a parable, a statistical parable. But
and it really is a mindset.
Yeah, right? It is.
Mindset.
So, but in this statistical parable, it's published in a magazine allegedly. Someone quotes it, is that someone asks, "What's the right size to multiply your church?" And typically what the answer was, about 25% larger than the current church. Yeah. So if it's 100, people say if we're 125, it's 1,000, 1,250. Mm-hmm. So there's a perceived scarcity that keeps people from multiplying. But what I would say is, I think that they're missing out on the fact that, well, you know, we don't have enough musicians. If we multiply and our musicians go somewhere else, there's probably musicians in the church who will step up at that moment.
Or story after story.
Yeah, or new small group leaders are going to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is actual scarcity. I mean, there are places and times when you might have too few to actually know or have the ability to kind of multiply others. So I think I think that there are times when, you know, maybe you just planted a church where you need to rest and wait a while. Middle, you know, big church split. You don't need. I mean, there are times you don't need to plant churches. Yeah. I mean, there are times when there's actual scarcity of trust, of people, of resources,
and the church needs to focus on developing the systems.
Yeah. Now the problem is, and I agree, but the problem is sometimes they focus on that for the next 10 years and they plant a church.
Yeah.
So there's a place to you got to move forward. I would say number four is relationships. Relationships. I mentioned that under fear, but let me come back to it again. I would say we're trying to encourage a life group in our church to multiply right now, and my life group's multiplied a couple of times, and what they always say is, well, it's too small. I mean, our fellowship is too connected. We don't want to take the risk of losing the friendships that we have.
Because it does hurt.
It does. Right? It does.
It is painful.
It is. And the alternative is non-growth. Yeah. You know, I mean, ultimately, you know, our life group I'm thinking of is 25 people, and not everyone can participate. Yeah. You know, so it would be better, but yeah. It's still hard to get to the better. Yeah. Number five is bad math. I'll explain what I mean by that. I think a lot of people think, well, if I just get more people to my church, that's a better stewardship than planting new churches. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't make sense numerically. Yeah. When we plant churches, and we plant multiple churches, those churches that we plant actually have a more likelihood of making an impact or more successful at reaching new people. So, I mean, yeah. I think the key is we've got to do good math. That addition is good. Multiplication is better. Number six is what I call church centricity. In other words, it's all about our church. And this is a hard thing. So, you know, Eddie's at a very well-known, I mean, it's a great church.
Yeah.
And so you'll always have this sense that great church, and if I'm right, I think they're without a pastor right now, that great church needs needs certain things. And they may not, you know, being pastoral or something might not be the best time to launch out. Maybe it is. It's a large enough church you can do more than one thing at a time. Church of 200 without a pastor might not be ready. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that there's a danger of church centricity where it's always sort of about that church. It's always about the mothership rather than a kingdom focus.
Yeah.
A kingdom focus, many things. I mean, it's a whole theological construct around the kingdom of God. But it means, you know, we're going to not just be about our church, we're about a kingdom. We're going to plant a church in another community nearby. And then lastly, I'd say it's a lack of vision for multiplication. I think you have to learn multiplication. You have to learn the vision for multiplication. And I think that's where pastors and leaders have to consistently put forward the idea that that multiplication is central to who they are. That's part of the DNA of the church, things of that sort. So I think there's a lot of good things that that can actually become barriers over time, good things that we love about our church, things of that sort. But I think multiplication has to be intentional, has to be strategic, and ultimately moves forward when we cast a vision for multiplication that changes lives.
Yeah, so I mean, when we cast that vision for multiplication, we've seen this in our research that churches, you know, amongst the churches we surveyed, the ones that multiplied and actually had a daughter church after, you know, within their first 5 years, they made a commitment to communicate their vision for multiplication. Right. So it really is creating the story, the culture around multiplication at every level of the church. Right. So when a small group multiplies, you know, that's celebrated as a value. Right. When volunteers grow, you know, in their ministry areas or start new ministry areas, that's celebrated as a story, as a life changing story. And even what I found is there are some pastors that they want to multiply, but they do such a bad job at leading change that their multiplication desire and efforts are shot down before they can actually do it.
Yeah.
Right. So let me give you an example. Right. The church may, the pastor may be excited about it. They may have read our research on the state of church planting, read Viral Churches, you know, Planting Missional Churches, the different books. And they say, okay, you know, I want to do this. I want to do this. And then 3 months before they do it or plan to do it, they talk to their deacons or they talk to their elder board or they talk to the leaders at their church. And maybe they've done a good job at shepherding their elders or their deacon board, you know, along, but maybe they haven't shepherded their staff.
That's good.
Right. Or vice versa. So the change effort actually gets stalled in the tracks, right? So there's change at every level where it's not only yourself as a pastor, you know, embracing this vision, but, you know, at your highest level, those closest to you, with your staff, with the volunteer leaders at your church, and then your church at broad, right? I mean, you said this multiple times, Ed, where, you know, when you planted Grace Church, you know, very first service, you know, you said, hey, we are going to be a church that multiplies. Right. And we've seen that over and over again in our research that actually does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember us preaching at the Wesleyan National Gathering. It's like their annual meeting, though they don't do annual meetings, but one of their national meetings. And I was going to preach. They asked me to preach on multiplication, which I thought I was came doing church multiplication. And I think it was Chris Conrad said to me, and he's now the district leader of West Michigan District. I think you were up there with them recently.
Yeah, I was.
And
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen, yeah, exactly. Those guys, yeah. And Jeff and others. So anyway, so Chris said to me, he was the director of church planning at the time. He said, we don't just talk about multiplication in terms of churches. We talk about it in terms of everything. You got to multiply disciples, leaders, groups, ministries, and churches. And he says, and to do that, everyone has to be about multiplication. So it's twofold. You multiply everything, but everyone has to be passionate about multiplication. Now that's hard, you know, in a church like, you know, a great Bible teaching church like there at E-Free, Fullerton, it's hard because there's an inertia that comes with great Bible teaching in a large church that can be just naturally inward. And this is not true with one church. Mm-hmm. It's true of all large churches, right? The church I serve as teaching pastor in Florida, you know, we have to push against. You know, we run, you know, about 10,000 on a weekend and, you know, the different campuses and all that stuff. But we have to push against the inward gravitational pull of maintaining the beast, you know, to have multiple church plants. We have church planting as part of our strategy and multiple church plants. But that takes an energy of multiplication at every single level.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the church of less than 200.
Yeah.
Right? Or the church of 100.
Yeah.
You know, they're 2 years in, they're 3 years in, right? And they want to multiply, but they're dealing with this scarcity mindset. They're dealing with, you know, but I don't have enough volunteers, or I've just finally developed leaders of leaders, and I don't really want to send them out, you know, to go help someone else plant a church, or, you know, they have that struggle, right? They want to be about multiplication. They want to do that, but they're only at 100. What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I don't think they have to bite off the full sandwich here.
That's right? Good. Yeah, that's a good
point. You know, a church like E.B. Fullerton or others, you know, you could be the primary mother church or partner. You know, people use different language, different denominations. But what I would say is you can be a part. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we started our church, you know, Grace Church started, and, you know, we're not the perfect example of everything, but we're not thousands. But we started the first Sunday and said, if I recall, I think the first Sunday offering we set aside for church planting.
Good. Yeah.
And so we said that we're going to be a church planting church, and so subsequently we've sent a couple to Brazil to plant churches as missionaries came out of our church, and we've got a church plant we're sponsoring now with one of our pastoral apprentice team members, one of our former staff members. You know, so a church at Spring Hill, it's called. So in doing those things, we both financially support others. We are not thousands, so we might not be able to carry the full load. But man, we can be a key part of that, and so in both cases, I think we're good player to this. You know, we've just finished for the Church of Spring Hill. It's about an hour away from where we are. We actually been sending our people to take care of the all the support ministries. So a small group each week. You know, we have financial support, things of that sort. In Brazil, we're the largest financial supporter, that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but we're not everything.
Yeah.
So here's what I would say. You can't do everything, but you can do something.
Yeah, and I think that's a myth, right?
What do you mean, what's a myth?
A myth that there are planters who are saying, hey, if we can't do everything, then it doesn't count.
Yeah, okay.
Right, but I mean, you're right. Whether it's sending finances, setting aside budget, or maybe it's even the pastor's time. Right, if they're not hitting budget and they're you know, they're only able to give a little bit, maybe it's the pastor's time to mentor, right, or to help other planters that are getting off their ground, or maybe it's them sharing resources that they've just created this past year.
Yeah, I want to push a little bit. I think you're right in everything you said, but I still think that finances mean something.
Yeah,
because I think there's a skin in the game sense to that, and so definitely. I want people to mentor. I want to speak. People speaking to it. I don't want to just give their old Vacation Bible School materials or whatever. I mean, how many times as a church planner I've gotten somebody's last year's VBS resources?
Yeah.
So I want what you said, but I still want to see some finance. I want to see some people involved if possible. Mm-hmm. You know, so Brazil, we're sending a mission team, right? We're engaged down there. So what I would say is, recognize you can't do everything, but do as much as you can with as many means as you can: financial, people, support, mentoring, coaching, praying. All of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, and even, I mean, sending people, like your example of sending people over to the church at Spring Hill, I mean, that's not 5 minutes away from where you live.
Right.
That's right. That's like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Brazil's far away.
Yeah. Brazil's not 45 minutes to an hour.
But still, I mean, 45 minutes to an hour, you know, every week, you know, going to help is a big commitment. Yet people are willing to do it when they capture that vision.
Yeah. Well, what we did too is, you know, I mean, they know, you know, Jess Rayner and John Mills. We ordained John Mills and he went through our pastoral apprentice program. Jess was on our staff, helped us plant the church here. So there's easy connections. So we get up and say, we're going to go help. you know, John and Amy and Jess and Rachel, and people are like, we're in.
Yeah.
And so that helps.
Yeah.
But the more organic the connection, I think the more likely people are to be involved. I mean, it's increasingly people say it's our church plant when they see it as our people who are planting the church. And if you don't have that connection, like we have that organic connection with them, I think you can build that by, you know, bringing them before the church, showing videos, communicating that. And we're trying to communicate that on our Sunday morning. We do regular updates from Brazil and regular updates from Spring Hill, which is not Brazil, but it's about an hour south of where we are in Nashville.
Yeah. And you know what? Lastly, I really do want to challenge you as a church planter, as a staff member, when you hire staff members for your church, think beyond them just serving at your church, right? Think about it in terms of development and saying, okay, God is allowing them to be a part of our staff team for maybe a year or 2 years. And maybe it's leaders, it's a volunteer, it's a lay person saying, hey, let's really develop in them and have that mindset. So instead of feeling like you need to develop them and you're wanting them to be with you forever, think about development and actually the idea of sending them out and preparing them for that day that maybe God's calling them to a new season, which may be church planting.
It's good.
Right on. Well, thanks again for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, we would appreciate if you would log on to iTunes, leave a rating and review for us, because this is going to help others benefit from the podcast and learn about it. Thanks again for listening.
And helps our insecure emotional needs. Tell us nice things. Please, tell us you love us.
Leave a review.